Thanks for just indulging me on that. What I felt to share on this morning is a concept that comes from 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're not going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 3, but I want to just explain what happens there because it will give us a platform for where we're going to go. So what happens in there is you've got this young priest that's coming in. His name is Samuel, and he's being trained by an older guy called Eli. And so one day, Samuel is lying in bed, and then God calls him. But he gets out of bed, and he goes to Eli, and he says, "I'm here, you called me." So Eli says, no, I didn't call you, go back to bed. So he goes back, and then God calls again, and he goes and says, "You called me." And then this happens like two or three times, and then Eli realizes, no, this child is actually being called by God. So he says, "When you go back, go lie on your bed and say, when the voice comes, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" And that story has always taught me a certain concept whereby sometimes when we are being called by God, you know, God doesn't always call us. I don't know if he has ever done it to any of us in here, but it's usually not like this voice that comes and says, "Hey, I'm calling you." You know, it's not like that. It comes through other means. And sometimes we mistake God's call, or we mistake this call to be coming from the means through which it's coming. Let me explain. If the elders came to you and said, "Hey, we feel like the, this is how it happened with me, by the way. We feel the calling of God on your life. We'd like you to just come and serve with us here." Now you can hear that and you can say, "The elders are calling me to come and serve in the church." Or you can say, "God is the one calling me." Because when Samuel heard this voice, he naturally thought, this is the voice of, you know, the guy who's discipling me, and let me go and hear what he has to say. But it was actually God calling him. And we need to get to a point where we begin to hear the voice behind the voice. When things are happening and these callings are coming, or we're being asked to do things and so on, we need to start saying, "God, what are you saying? Let me hear what God is saying." Because the voice might be human, but behind that voice, there is God calling. Just give you an example, and this will be coming through a lot. So last week, there was talk about membership. You know, we're going to be doing membership in the church and so on and so on. And the same concept comes through, because when we hear about membership, we think about signing on a piece of paper to say, "I belong to, this is my church, Gospel Central Church, and we are signing up or signing into a church." But what we need to realize is we are actually signing into the church, not a church. When I was about to say, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm actually involved with admin, and I don't know how, I know how it's going to happen. There might be some papers to sign on. When you sign on that piece of paper, you are not signing to come into Gospel Central Church. Yes, you are, in a sense, because this is the local family, but you are signing to come into the body, into the wider church, the church. And I'll just give you a description of what the church looks like, because quite often we look at the people sitting here and we say, "This is the church." If we maybe stretch a little bit, we think of other churches and we say, "Us and those churches, we are the church." But you know, the church actually consists of people that are believers who are past, present, and future. So the church is not complete yet today. The people that were believers before us, they are in the church. They belong to the church. And then the people that are here today who are believers, they also make up the church together with those people. And the people that are going to be saved in the future, they are also going to come into the church. So when you are becoming a member, you're becoming a member into this big thing, much bigger than just a few people that are here. And what I thought to do this morning is to kind of just build on what Anton shared in this issue of membership. And we're going to build on it just by looking at a few questions. For example, the first question will be, Well, what are you signing into? I think we've already talked about that. When you are signing up for membership, you are just affirming your belonging, not just into this particular church, but into the bigger body. But there's more. What are you signing up for? You know, we've got this phrase, I didn't sign up for this. What's happening there is you have signed up for, we have signed into something, but then you look around and you see the things that are happening and you say, no, when I signed into this thing, I did not sign up for this. This is not what I wanted. This is not what I expected. So it is good for us to begin to know what is it that we should be expecting or that we are getting ourselves into. And I'll just look at what people sometimes would call the metaphors for the church. These are like the pictures of the church that we get through scripture. And one of them is a family. As you are signing up for membership or signing to get into the church, not a church, you are saying, I am coming into a family. And we're going to go through about four of these. I'll give just maybe one scripture or two scriptures for us to get an idea of where it's coming from in the Bible. And then I'll also talk about a few things regarding that. So there will be lots of things to talk about family, for example, but we're not going to look at every single thing. So in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, it says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. That word household could be translated family. You are now members of the family of God. So what does family speak of? Family speaks of relationships. It speaks of belonging. It speaks of identity. I think there was something about identity when we prayed together as well. Identity, this is where we get our love from. We give love. We get our hugs. It's warm. And all those things that family are. It's like home. And we like to think about that when we think about family, especially church family. But we also need to remember that family can also be messy. Family is not always nice. I don't know what families you come from, but I know that we also have a part of the family or a side of our family that is not so good. And that's what we find ourselves in. It's there. It's real. I cannot detach myself or no longer cease. I can't cease to be part of that family just because there is something that is not so good within our family. Now we accept it in the biological family or the natural family, if you like, but we don't like to accept it when it comes into the church. Why? Because the church is family. We need to accept everything that family is. The other thing that I'll mention when it comes to family is we don't get to choose our family members. You know, you're just born and you look at these two people and automatically they're your mom and dad. You didn't say, okay, God, before I go, I want that one and that one. They're just there. And look around, these people, whether you like them or not, they are your family if you belong to this family. You don't choose. God is the one who designs it the way that he designs it. So when you are now signing up and we're talking about membership and so on, you need to know, I'm getting into a family. I'm going to receive love, but I'm going to give love. I'm going to receive hugs, but I need to give hugs. But it's also going to get messy. We're going to fight. We're going to have, you know, disagreements. And please don't fight. But, you know, things are going to happen in the family. Secondly, what are you signing up for? You're signing up to be a bride. Because the Bible says the church is the bride of Christ. Revelation 19, verse 7, it says, let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. I just love that picture, a bride making herself ready. I got to see the pictures of Lizzie making herself ready on our wedding day. There's a lot that goes into that thing, guys. Yo, like there were myriads and myriads of other women around here. You know, this one on this ear, this one on the lips, and so on and so on. says the bride has made herself ready. That speaks of responsibility as a church, you know. Verse 8, it was granted to her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. This part is the part that made me choose this particular verse in the Bible. The fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. So when we are talking about a bride, we are now beginning to talk about an intimate relationship. You know, this is a deeper relationship than just a friendship, a deeper relationship than just a colleague or a co-worker. It's very intimate. We're talking about beauty. You know, we're saying about just Jesus being beautiful, but the bride is also expected to be beautiful. And I think it's in Ephesians where he talks about this Jesus just washing his church so that she can be presented without spot or blemish. Other translations say spot or wrinkle. You know, this is speaking of the beauty. It also speaks of purity, the white that the bride is dressed in. Talked about the righteous deeds of the saints. Speaking about purity, it's also speaking about submission, because Jesus is the husband, and we are the bride, and we need to submit. So as you're signing up, or as you're saying, I want to be a member of this church, or I am a Christian, you need to know that your relationship with Jesus is supposed to be a relationship of deep intimacy. I spoke about this the other time. How much time do you spend with your beloved? What is the quality of that relationship like? Your submission to Jesus is expressed through your submission to the church or in the church. You know, the things that we like to say, if Jesus asks me to do this, I will do it gladly. But if it comes through the church, we begin to resist. It doesn't work like that. Because Jesus works through the church. The beauty, did you know that the beauty of the church will be primarily seen through you? Because if the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints, then it already begins to bring the question, what are we doing with our lives? When people look at us, when they look at me, what do they see? Because we want the church to be holy, we want the church to look beautiful out there, but we don't want to be holy and to look beautiful ourselves. Primarily, it's going to be seen through the church, and the church is you and I. If we are impure, the church is impure. You know that? Like, well, I don't know how many of us are here. If there is one of us who is not pure, then the church is not pure. This is what being a bride is speaking about. And we need to think about this as we think about being members together with God's holy people to form the church. The church is also an army. It says in Philippians 2, or 2 Timothy 2, 3, I'm not too sure which one is coming first now. I think the 2 Timothy 1. It says, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ. So when you start speaking about soldiers, you're speaking of an army. Paul in Philippians 2:25 says, I've thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. And I'm so glad I can read that. Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier. I love the two metaphors coming through. The one is my brother. So he's speaking about family. He recognizes, hey, me and Epaphroditus, we are family. But then he also realizes, me and him, not going to try and repeat that word again. Me and him, we are soldiers. We are in the army. The day you were born again, you enlisted into the army. Each one of us is in a war of some sort. And many of us need to be reminded of this, that we are at war. You know, when it says the gates of hell shall not prevail, it's talking about us attacking hell. And I love to use that one because I don't know how I always pictured it when I got born again. I thought maybe hell is the one that's coming to attack us and the gates are not going to prevail, until I really read it. I was like, no, we're the ones that are going against hell and the gates are not going to prevail. There's an attack that is going on. And we need to be careful not to overplay the metaphor of family. We love to say we are a family. We are a family. Yes, we are. But we need to remember that we also are an army. I was in a church once where they were very missional. They loved to go out and plant new churches and go out and do these things. And what they would say to you, especially when you were signing up for membership, they would say, we want you to know that in this place, we are an army. And because we're an army, we're going to be on the go. We're going to be taking ground. We're going to be doing things. And as we do these things, it's going to get rough. People get hurt in a war. You need to expect to be hurt. And they would say this one line. They would say, sometimes we are not going to have time to stop and bandage every single little wound on every single person. And we need to begin to accept some of these things as a church. Because when we say, they remembered her birthday, but not my birthday. This is a terrible church. Sometimes when you are in the army, you do not remember each other's birthdays. Because it's rough, because it's a war. Sometimes, depending on your wound, we might leave you and go and attend the other person because they've got a deeper wound. You get what I'm saying? When it's an army, it's rough. And we have forgotten how to be an army as the church. Just think about our songs. I think Munya and I, we once spoke about this quite a lot. The songs of today, we've got very few songs about army, about going out there. You know, onward, Christian soldiers. Anyone know that song? The older folk, maybe? There's a song that says, there's a war I must fight, and a victory to be won. Give me power every hour till victory. We need to begin to hear those words amongst Christians, those words in the church. Instead of fighting, sometimes we're just sitting around saying, they gossiped about me, so I'm going to skip church. They forgot me when they had their bride, so I'm not going to go. And all these things. And the enemy loves to use that. You know, you can sit for like 6 months with this thing. And when you look around, you're like, how much fighting have I done? None. Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and so on. But notice the first two words, we wrestle. This is wrestling. It's not nice hugs and kisses and things like that. There's a fight that is going on. An army means you fight. When last did you fight something? Just as an individual, when last did you fight? Not someone, something. Maybe just fighting in prayer. Say, you, today I really fought in prayer. Oh, you, I really fought that temptation. When was the last time? We are fighting the flesh. When last did you say, yeah, that was the flesh wanting to come in there, but I fought. You know, David, his father says to him, I want you to go and give this food to your brothers because they are busy fighting the enemy. But when David gets there, he sees there's no fighting. You know, all the Israelites are standing on one side and there's this one giant who comes out and they run away. Being an army also means we need to be courageous. You know, as Christians, sometimes, to be honest, we are cowards. We are cowards. When things are happening, we just kind of like, I don't even want to be seen that I'm a Christian. In public transport, for example, when they start to speak, And they start to criticize the church. Do we speak up? And I'm now speaking to myself as well, because I know I've sat there from here to Harare, and they've said things, and I haven't said a single word because I was a coward. When are we going to stand up to be seen? We need to realize that we are an army. And when you say, I'm a proud member of this church, you're a proud member of this army as well. Number four, the church is a body. And 1 Corinthians, we're not going to spend time on this a lot because I think Anton covered it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And when the body is spoken about, especially in the Corinthians context, it's speaking about service. It's now saying, you are a part of this body and you've got a part to play. Each part is designed specifically for a certain function. And the question is, are you going to offer yourself for the service? Or maybe right now, are you serving in the body? The other thing the body tells you is that you can't leave. I liked that illustration about, you know, you can't cut off your finger and put it there and then come back and put it back and so on. You know, if it, I don't know about you, but I would love for my fingers to remain where they are every single day. And that says something when we are saying we are the body. It means I can't just be going in and out and saying, no, I'm no longer there now, but now I'm back. It means you're stuck with the people that are in the church or in the body. You look at them, you don't like them, but because you are a body, you are there with them, hopefully for life. And the body also tells you that you need the other guy. You need that sister, especially the ones that we don't like. It's good to just remember, God has placed them there to be with you because they serve a purpose, and you need them. If you are a finger, you're going to need an eye. If you are a mouth, you're going to need a stomach or something. We rely on each other. When we are saying we're coming into membership, when we're saying we're coming to be part of the church, we need to realize we are signing up for these things. There is a cost, always. A rich young man comes and he says, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you know, there's that conversation, but it culminates with Jesus saying, go and just sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. Following Jesus is a certain cost. It's a very, very sad scripture that it says, because he went away sad because he had so much wealth. Very ironic. When God called the disciples, you know, it says they were fishermen, busy fishing, some of them. He says, come follow me. And they left their nets. That was a cost right there. And they start coming to follow him. We were talking yesterday, and this is where I started to think about this, to be inspired on this message, just at the deacon's training, how the church now goes to just ask people to do things because they're available. They're the ones that are there. Not that they're the ones with the anointing, not that they're the right person for the job. You're like, no one, everyone is too busy, or everyone is busy putting more value on something else and not the church. Job is coming first, the family is coming first, the relationship is coming first, and everything comes before the church. But here we've got some men who left their jobs and they started following Jesus. Get home. Hey, where's the fish? No, I've got no fish today. What happened? No, I'm following this guy now. Jesus. That is a cost. Matthew 8:20 says, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus is telling this guy who says, I want to follow you. And he says, yeah, do you know the cost? And we need to count the cost. And I'm not trying to freak anyone out of the church to say, hey, I don't want to be part of this. But I want us to think, consciously think through these things as we go for them. Because that's going to give us balance. So all those things that we say we will do for Jesus, we need to come to a place where we say we will do for the church. Because the church is the body of Christ. The expression of Jesus is the church. The primary way in which you serve Jesus is by serving in or through the church. Some of us like to say, me and Jesus, we've got such a wonderful relationship at home, or like a private relationship. There's nothing like that. This is the relationship between you and Jesus. And the question is, will you really lay down your life, your time, your money? Mark was talking about this. When it comes to money, are you really going to say, I'm going to lay this down for the family, for the army, so that I can be a better bride, for the body? I just really sensed, maybe Anton, you can just be preparing to come up now and wrap it up, but I really sense that God is calling people back into the family. And some have been on the fringes and just kind of doing church, and God is saying, no, I want you in the thick of things. I want you to identify as family. I want you to identify as my bride. I want you to be in the army fighting with other people. When it gets ugly, I want you to know that you committed to being in this thing. I want you to know that you are a part of the body. Perhaps it's time for you to put your hand into his hand and say, yeah, this is me. I'm coming in. Maybe let me just pray as Anton comes up. Father, we thank you for this beautiful thing that you have created, beautiful organism called the church. Thank you for those that have gone before us. Thank you for those that will come. But right now, Father, we really say thank you for brothers and sisters that we have today. Thank you for this local church that you have given so that we can have a sense of belonging and express our relationship with you through. So we present ourselves, Jesus, and we say, here we are. Would you use us? Here we are. Would you direct us? Here we are. We submit to you. Thank you, Jesus.